Welcome to Middle School Walk and Talk, a podcast series offering heart, hope, and health to members of our middle school communities. Hosts Phil Svegel and Jessica McGuire talk all things self-care, student well-being, school culture, and more. Middle School Walk and Talk is designed to support the concepts found in the successful middle school, This We Believe, and is a production of the Association for Middle Level Education. To learn more, visit amle.org. Today's episode, middle school is a lot about finding yourself, with special guests, students Layla Hayes and Gabriela Berrios-Ortiz.
Hi, Jessica.
Hi, Phyllis. I'm excited to be here today at the AMLE conference with two more guests.
I am so excited too. I am totally not going to apologize that this is my favorite episode that we're recording during the conference. I am here with Layla and Gabriela, who are respectively an eighth grader and a ninth grader at local schools, and hopefully will shed light on what it's like to be a middle schooler today in a way that none of our adult guests can do. So welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
Layla and Gabby, you're talking today to middle-level educators on our podcast and leaders in middle school buildings. What could you tell us about what it's like today being a middle schooler? Because all your teachers grew up in a much different time, and middle school was probably different. What is it like for you being a middle schooler?
What it's like to be a middle schooler to me is a lot of different things, but I think it mainly consists of being in tune with yourself, because if you don't know what you want to do, then it'll mess up your future.
Yes. I agree with that. And also, I think part of being a middle schooler for me is it's a lot of finding yourself and your interests. And it's also learning how to manage different social situations. And I think it's a lot of growth for me personally throughout middle school.
What are some of the things that your teachers do at school to help you know more about yourself?
Well, we have different groups in our school that can help us find ourselves. And usually there are a lot of teachers that are open and willing to helping you understand who you are and what you can do.
What sets those teachers apart? What is it about the teachers that you trust and will have these kinds of real conversations with?
Those teachers are usually open, and they're the type of teachers they'll listen when you talk, and they can have discussions with you that aren't just one-sided.
Yeah. Meaning they tell you about themselves too?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. For me, it's I also have a lot of teachers. I feel so lucky because at my school, pretty much all of my teachers you could just go up to and have like a really cool conversation about anything, and they will listen and they will share back to you, and they kind of just like create a space to help you feel a little more accepted and a little more like it's okay to be yourself.
So what I'm hearing from both of you is that self-awareness is hard won.
Yes.
That feeling comfortable in your own skin is not something that comes naturally. It's a process.
Yes.
And what is it about middle school that forces you to wrestle with that?
Because you're around a lot of different personalities and people that are always going to say one thing or another. And in that chaos, you have to be able to find yourself.
Yeah. And I think, you know, there are always those who are going to judge and criticize you and find ways to do that, even if they have no means of which to do so. There are people like that, but I think there are also people who are willing to accept you as you are, and you have to kind of look within yourself and say, you know, and try to find, you know, these are the things that make me, and you know, you find those groups of people and those friends who accept you and are like, yeah, we're okay with that.
Do you think there are some points where you know you're hanging out with people who don't make you feel good about yourself, but you're drawn to them for reasons you don't totally understand?
Yes.
Yeah.
Can you help the adults listening understand what might be going on?
When you feel attracted to a group of people, but you know they don't make you feel good, it's a situation where you know that you can't help but get away from them because of stuff that might have happened in the past or stuff they might have done for you, but you still feel drawn to them because of those things they did for you or to you in the past.
I definitely agree with that, and I also think that those groups who you're drawn to but might not make you feel your best or accept you, I think sometimes it's feeling desperate. Honestly, I know I have felt in situations where I'm just so desperate to try and find something to make me feel a little more like myself, even if I have to change some things, because I'm so searching for a space where I can feel that.
Yes. You ladies are both very well spoken and self-aware. What advice would you give to other students and as well as teachers about being a student leader or becoming a student leader? How would kids go about doing that?
Well, I think the first thing is to put yourself out there, no matter what the risks are. Like, you might want to become president for something, but you feel scared to do so. It's always a matter of trying instead of not trying, because if you don't try, you'll never know what could have happened if you didn't.
Sometimes middle schoolers will tell me that they want to go after something, especially middle school girls, mm-hmm. but they know their friend wants the same thing, mm-hmm. and so they won't put their hat in the ring because they don't want to step on their friend's toes. Have you ever found yourself in that situation?
I have. And when you're in a situation like that, it is hard to do so. But at the same time, you have to focus on what will put yourself first and what will get you farther.
Yeah, I have definitely felt in situations like that, because I am a super, like, very sensitive and empathetic person. And I so want other people to, you know, like, feel good and want to be around me. And I have definitely, like, put my needs aside and or my needs and my wants aside for other people. And I'm slowly learning that you can't always sacrifice so much of yourself, because then you're just left with nothing. And so I'm slowly learning how to, you know, still pay attention to my needs and wants, while still, you know, remaining true to my nature of being so sensitive and empathetic towards others.
Do you think boys struggle with that in the same way?
I think yes, but not on the exact same level.
What might be a situation where boys feel that kind of insecurity, or that they are afraid of jeopardizing a friendship that you've noticed?
They might want to be captain of a sport, and both them and their friend are in the top spots, the top contenders, mm-hmm. and one of them ends up getting chosen. I think that it's never the same on the same level as it is with girls, because I've seen that girls always are more, put it in a different way, or are more caring to their friends' needs than I've seen with boys.
Have any teachers ever helped you go after something you wanted when they sensed that you were holding back because you were trying to protect your friendship with someone?
Yeah, I have felt that way. There have been teachers who have helped me go after things when, like, I have a lot of hesitation about a lot of things, because I'm not entirely, like, I'm going to be fully honest, I'm not entirely comfortable and confident in myself and with myself, and I think that's something we all grow and learn in. And I think that there have definitely been teachers who have helped me say, hey, you know, sometimes I've been, like, so hesitant about something, that they have kind of talked to me in a way that lets me reevaluate my friendship and say, hey, if this is a real friendship, they won't be mad they won't, like, something as small as, even though it feels really big, but it's really small, and something that's so small as, like, getting chosen or not chosen for, like, one particular thing, one moment, one committee or whatever, that's not going to ruin your whole friendship if they're a real friend to you, you know?
That's good advice.
That is great advice, and I couldn't have said it any better. What do you think adults might be surprised to know about middle school?
That's a good question.
I sometimes ask kids, just playing on that question a little bit, if they've seen the movie Mean Girls, and I always smile because you're nodding your head. I don't think I've met any middle schoolers in a long, long time who haven't seen that movie. You haven't?
I haven't.
Well, don't see it, because it reinforces all the worst stereotypes about middle schoolers. And I think sometimes it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. You see this, and you think this is what it's supposed to be like, and you start to dread middle school a little bit more than you would have had you not seen that movie. But I think it also creates a false perception of middle school and middle schoolers in adults' eyes, too. One of which is that middle schoolers are mean, or that they always have to be in the mix and they want drama. I don't see middle schoolers that way. Do you have any thoughts about what some myths or misconceptions about middle school might be that adults hold?
I think a main misconception is that everybody wants to see the worst for each other.
Yeah.
Because I've watched the movie, and in the movie, every character was out for each other or wanted the worst for each other by going against each other's backs. But in reality, it's mostly from what I've been around, it's a thing of people trying to help each other to achieve what they're reaching for.
There's one that's like, all middle schoolers are mean and sassy. And I think that is like one of the farthest things from the truth, because a lot of us are, you know, well, all of us are growing and learning in our own ways, and I think sometimes that can be seen or perceived as like we're being mean, or we're always being rude, when a lot of times it's really just everybody is finding themselves and struggling in their own ways, and everybody has their own challenges. And I think it would do all of us a lot of good if we could all just be a little more open, forgiving, and accepting of each other. And I think a lot of adults see middle schoolers kind of being these ways, and they don't really understand that sometimes it can be things like they're just really stressed out. And sometimes, like, stressful motivation does not help. And being, like, putting a lot of pressure on your kids, on your students, is not helpful, because that just gives you more anxiety and more to stress about. And I think it's a lot more helpful when teachers actually... the teachers that take the time and sit down with you and say, hey, my perception is this. You might be struggling with something. How can I help? Or if they sit down with you and kind of like help you break your assignments and projects down, and actually like take the time to help you, that's definitely a lot more helpful.
So it sounds like what you're saying is that when middle schoolers are maybe sarcastic or rude or behaving in a way that teachers find offensive, the most productive thing they can do in that moment is recognize that probably the student is stressed, isn't handling it well, and wants you to sit down with them and help you feel more under control of both your emotions and whatever it is that's causing you the stress.
Yes.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense.
And it's hard because adults sometimes have the same issue, right? They're stressed, and sometimes their fuse needs to be lengthened a little bit before they engage.
As Gabby was talking, I was thinking middle school teachers are a lot more like middle school students than maybe we realize. Well, maybe we all kind of need the same thing.
Well, there has been so much wisdom in this brief yes. conversation. I just want to stick you both in my pocket and take you back to school with me. If you were giving everybody listening one favorite piece of advice for the rest of the school year, something that you would love to tell them yourself, but wouldn't necessarily feel comfortable doing it, but now it's anonymous and you don't even know who they are. You'll be helping some other students out there.
I would say that don't pressure a student, because as Gabriella was saying earlier, pressure just pulls you down even more, and it can lead you further down than you already are.
I think if I were to give one piece of advice, it would probably be find those who are willing to help you learn and grow, and not those who put you down and make you feel lesser than. Because when you find communities that are willing to lift you up and support you, those are the communities and spaces and people that are going to stick with you and that are going to help you in the long term.
This is deep stuff.
Wow. Yes. Well, it sounds like schools who build communities for kids to be able to belong, and schools that support without putting more pressure on, because I think everyone puts pressure on themselves a little bit, right?
And allow that imperfection.
Yes.
Well, it's also interesting because in terms of brain development, and I sometimes remind kids of this and parents, the way that your brain develops, you actually don't perform better at your age because someone tells you the stakes are high. It actually backfires. Lowering the stakes can bring out the best in middle schoolers, which it sounds like that resonates for you and makes sense.
Yes.
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 This was a wonderful conversation. It was enlightening to talk to two students who are very well spoken and understand themselves. It helps us understand what to do to build middle schools that can support you in the ways that you need. As we close out the podcast, is there anything else that you want to share to educators everywhere about the middle school experience? What do you hope middle schools of the future take forward with them, and maybe anything that needs to be left behind?
I think that what needs to be left behind is the negative standards of teachers who have probably seen the grades of a student and been like, oh, they're going to do terrible in my class. Let me not even try. And I think what needs to be brought to the future is more accepting groups and open teachers who are going to willingly put themselves out there and give you a chance.
Yes. So like every day at a middle school should be a fresh start for everyone.
Yes.
I love that.
I love that too.
Hi, you both.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.